Ex-Detroit, Grand Boulevard, 5 p.m. Robert and Lester, late 20s, are walking through the cold Michigan winter. They walk past Hitsville, the home of Motown, past the General Motors headquarters, a few blocks to the Fisher Building. Montage sequence, the Fisher Building, Detroit. Big and beautiful, the Fisher Building, its grandeur and elegance standing tall in the Detroit skyline. It is truly one of the great Art Deco skyscrapers of its time. The magnificent Art Deco facade, entirely constructed with granite and marble. The camera sweeps across the three-story space interior, revealing the hand-painted barrel-vaulted ceilings. The vibrant colors shimmer like exotic bird plumage, creating a mesmerizing visual spectacle. The ceilings come alive with scenes depicting flora, fauna, and mythical figures. They're symbolic designs representing various aspects of life and culture. Agriculture, art, justice, music, and other themes come to life through intricate paintings and sculptures. Bronze grills and bronze inlays depicting the four elements. No aspect of the Fisher Building's interior is left untouched by beauty and artistry. Illuminated in all its glory during the night, the Golden Tower shines bright, a beacon of architectural brilliance and a testament to Detroit's golden age. Now, as we pull back, we see the Grand Building is surrounded by burned-out houses and buildings, wreckage of the 1968 riots. N.T. Hay, Fisher Building. The London Arts Gallery is bathed in soft, muted lighting, showcasing the exquisite gold Art Deco decorations adorning the walls. The atmosphere is filled with an air of anticipation and reverence. Robert Crumb and Lester Bangs, their footsteps echoing through the grand space. Crumb's eyes widen as he takes in the impressive surroundings. They walk up three flights of stairs to the atrium. The London Arts Gallery windows have brown craft paper over every inch. There is a velvet rope, but nobody in line. A lazy security guard listens to transistor radio. All the crowds have gone home. They enter the gallery. Robert sees the 16 expensive clean aluminum frames of the John Lennon Bag One prints, a large cartoon of John and Yoko, a fancy leather bag, a handwritten poem called A is for Parrot, and then finally turning the corner, the famous erotic lithographs. His gaze moves from one print to another, his brows furrowing in disappointment. Crumb, whispering, "This is just bad art. The drawing lacks precision. The so-called eroticism feels forced. It's a mockery of the craft." Lester stands beside Crumb, his arms crossed, exuding an air of skepticism. He glances at the lithographs with a mix of disdain and disillusionment. Lester. Ah, Lennon cashing in on his name, huh? Quite the sellout move. Crumb. It's not about the money. It's about the integrity of the art. He's capable of so much more. Lester smirks, raising an eyebrow at Crumb's passionate defense of artistic integrity. Lester. Oh, come on, Bob. You know as well as I do that Lennon's lost his edge. This is just a cheap stunt, a desperate grab for attention. Crumb's eyes blaze with anger as he fiercely defends his viewpoint. Crumb. No, you don't understand. As artists, we have a responsibility to push boundaries, to create something meaningful. This is a letdown, a betrayal. Their voices fade as they continue their animated debate, their contrasting perspectives clashing amidst the hallowed halls of the gallery. The conversation echoes throughout the space, intertwining with the whispers of other gallery visitors. Lester, Yoko's Plastic Ono Band is the first John and Yoko album that doesn't insult the intelligence. In fact, in its dark, confounding way, it's nearly as beautiful as John's album. As Crumb and Lester exit the gallery, their heated discussion lingers in the air, their opposing views emblematic of the conflicts and complexities within the artistic world. Exit the warm, artistic embrace of the Fisher Building onto Grand Boulevard and into the cold reality of the city. Fade out.